Superintendent David Brown was at council yesterday, city council, in the hot seat in front of city council members, asking him pointed questions about all kinds of things, dealing with crime in the city, policing, police staffing even. Let's hear what we learned, what were the answers. Alderman Ray Lopez is joining us, 15th Ward Alderman. How you doing, Alderman Lopez?
And a happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. Hey, did I hear right that there's now a no bullying allowed sign on the front door of council chambers? Was that a joke, like an onion thing, or was it the political reporters were posting it? And I thought, what is this? What's that about?
Yes, there was a no bullying sign put up on the doors of the chamber yesterday. Alderman Rodriguez Sanchez mentioned that Alderman Cardenas had approached her and had some words, heated words towards her. So a no bullying sign was appeared on the chamber doors just to remind people to be civil.
And was it civil? How was the meeting yesterday?
It was, for the most part, civil. I think a lot of us had questions, as you noted, for the superintendent. I myself actually got shut down a number of times by our chairman, Pat Dowell. I guess my line of questioning was not what they wanted to discuss, but it was things that had to be discussed anyway, particularly when we're talking about giving the police department $1.9 billion of taxpayer money to keep Chicagoans safe. You know, the question has got to be quite simply, are you capable of using that money to keep Chicagoans safe? Because up until this point, I would say he hasn't been able to get the job done.
Was this a normal part of the budget process to bring Superintendent Brown there, or did you request it specifically as a council because of the situation we're in with the violence problem?
No, this is par for the course when it comes to dealing with the city's budget. For about 2 weeks, we have department heads come before the Committee on Budget and Government Operations and outline their expenditures that they're asking for us to approve for the following year, as well as take questions from various aldermen about the status of what their department is doing in the present year, as well as what they're going to do differently or improve upon or eliminate next year. So he was there, along with the top command staff, to discuss a wide range of issues that we're funding in the 2022 budget to address police vacancy, which is a huge issue for many of us, and to see what we're doing well and what we need to improve upon. As we're talking about the dollars that we're trying to allocate, you know, what I felt and what a number of us felt is that we are a city in crisis. We're a city in turmoil, and we have to right this ship and address it. And we wanted to hear from him directly what that looks like. And unfortunately, I will say that at least I know I was left wanting. I did not feel that I got any better answer from him yesterday than I did 3 months ago when I forced him to appear before city council to explain to us how he was going to keep Chicagoans safe July 4th weekend. But I think it should be noted from what I testified to and what I talked about yesterday that, you know, the superintendent's a man of contradictions. He talks about a lot of the good things that I think all of us agree with, but then does the exact opposite in terms of policy and execution. You know, you can't say that, you know, we can't beat up on our officers because it hurts morale, but then at the same time do policies that hurt our officers and negatively impact morale. You can't say you need technology and then not ask for it, not buy it. And you can't say that, you know, we need more and then not hire them. So I don't know, you know, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Yesterday,
Alderman Lopez, I did hear him say that we don't have enough applicants, that is part of the problem, that if you're going to hire 1,000 new police officers, you might need 10,000 applicants in order to screen them, get them through the testing, the physical, the written exam, and the background checks and all the things that are necessary before you become a police officer. You might have like a 10-to-1 ratio of who actually would be accepted. And they don't want to lower their standards. They need more people to apply. But what I thought I heard him say is in this environment, you don't have the applicants. They simply don't have them. What do you think about that?
No, I think he's right. I mean, clearly we have an image problem when it comes to people who want to be police officers and if they want to work for the police department in the city of Chicago. But I also know that, you know, it's hard to say that we don't have enough applicants and hard to say we're not getting the bodies when we just got a document from the mayor's office saying that we intend to seat and swear in no more than 200 officers next year. So they are intentionally suppressing the amount of officers we're going to have to fill the void next year already, at capping it at 200, even though we just heard yesterday that we have 1,147 vacant positions in the police department, 980 of which are sworn officers, and saying we're not even going to try to fill half of those vacancies tells me that we're just playing more smoke and mirror games with the budget vacancies, using it as a slush fund and not trying to actually do what we want them to do, which is to hire people and fill these positions to put officers in the beats throughout our communities.
Alderman Lopez, is that one of the things you hear from people in your ward, that they want to see more police presence? There aren't enough? What did they say to you?
People in my community, whether it's West Englewood, Back of the Yards, Bright Park, or Gage Park, they want police officers available to answer their calls when they need them. They want that 911 call to be responded to quickly, efficiently, and professionally. And we can't do that right now when our beat integrity has been so compromised because of the superintendent's insistence on taking from neighborhood districts and taking officers from neighborhood districts and using them on citywide teams. If you want to have a citywide team, you should take that from a special group and be able to still fully staff local districts. You should not have two officers in one car responsible for two, possibly even three beats in a district, making it so that there's only six cars available in any given police district. That is not a functional solution to addressing violence, especially when you are on the other end of that 911 call asking for help in an emergency situation. Having to wait 5, 6, 8 minutes for someone to respond could mean the difference between life and death, and that's not something that my residents are willing to tolerate any longer.
Speaking of what people don't want to tolerate any longer, we had to pause for a second, but I want to ask you about the mutual combatants situation with that West Side shooting where there are no charges. I know Alderman had a lot of questions about that yesterday. Curious about what you heard and how you feel about that. Conversation continues with Alderman Ray Lopez of the 15th Ward. I know this came up yesterday. Several aldermen brought it up at council hearings and budget meetings and all that stuff. The fact that there were no charges on that West Side shooting involving rival gang members, two people injured, one killed, illegal weapons, stolen cars, the whole thing. Kim Fox did hold a news conference today. I know you hadn't heard that by yesterday, but are you satisfied with the answers you received when members of council asked about the reasons that there were no charges in that case? What do you think, Alderman?
To be quite honest, Anna, I'm disappointed in everybody. All I hear are excuses and political finger pointing. From the mayor, from the superintendent, from the state's attorney's office. No one wants to step up and take responsibility and accountability for what's going on. First off, this idea that we can't charge people because they are mutual combatants is the most asinine and ridiculous policy I've ever heard in my life. Simply because you have two groups shooting at each other doesn't mean that you give them both a free pass. When you saw that shooting at Fulton Market, does that mean that we're going to give the two carloads of shooters a free pass, even though they injured seven people? That is ridiculous. And that is where we find ourselves in this city now. And the mayor, who likes to inject herself, is now making this personal, political, and petty, which are her three leadership points that she espouses the most, with the state's attorney, whom the superintendent just a week ago said, you know, we have to find better ways to interact with the state's attorney and the courts to put repeat offenders away. Apparently, one is not talking to the other, because the mayor's messaging was the complete and polar opposite of what the superintendent said at the city club. And now today you have the state's attorney, Kim Fox, saying, I don't play politics with people's lives. And even that is a disappointment and a lie, because she's played politics with justice since the moment she took office, by refusing to charge people for their crimes in the name of social justice. All the while, no one is caring about the victims of violence throughout the city of Chicago. And until someone finally steps up and says, we're going to put an end to this and start holding people accountable, I can't foresee any changes in the near future.
Well, that's the sad part. And I think that's the frustrating part to so many of us, is that we all see that there's a real problem. We see that it is a critical problem. And we want solutions from our elected leaders. And there is finger pointing. And that's what we're seeing right now. And it doesn't seem like any of them are on the same page when it comes to this stuff. They step up to the mic and they point their finger, then they get back. And none of them really seem to cooperate with each other behind the scenes. And that goes for police and prosecutors. There's a ton of tension there. The mayor and the obviously the state's attorney don't agree. It just seems on all fronts, and I don't know how that functions for us better. What can you guys do as council to help improve the crime problem? What are the solutions?
Well, I think some of the things that we've tried to do from city council perspective is first and foremost, we try to have a special meeting bringing all parties together. You know, we tried, as Alderman O'Shea referenced, having a summit in the council chambers with the state's attorney, with the police, with the chief judge, and the mayor, so that we could all have a public group discussion to figure out what our problems are, where our differences are, and where our similarities are when it comes to the execution of justice in the city and county. Never happened, in part because the mayor and her team did not want to be a part of it. I will commend Kim Fox. She was willing to come down, but the mayor was not willing to meet her halfway. You know, we've tried to look at using our own law department as a prosecutorial assist with some of these issues by the ordinances that Alderman Napolitano recently introduced to give them more power to help with the administering of justice. That is languishing in committee because the mayor doesn't want to move forward. You know, I think what we're seeing right now are two African-American women leaders fighting over who is going to be number one. And lost in translation are the victims and the quality of life in the city of Chicago. We heard that today when Kim Fox was alluding to her family history and many of the same themes that she ran on, her stories growing up, you know, in the projects and things of that nature. You know, trying to get the moral high ground from the Black community voting demographic while avoiding responsibility for her policies and inaction and how that impacts the Black community. We're seeing the mayor trying to join and elicit West Side Black aldermen to go against Kim Fox to try and gain that moral high ground within that demographic. All of this is politics. All of this is a battle for the perception of who's doing more for the Black community at a time when what they should be focusing on is focusing on the victims, regardless of community, and how we get people who are committed to violence off the streets and into jail. We have to start holding people accountable. That's the only way we lift every neighborhood up, including the Black community. But right now, all we're getting are platitudes and quasi-political speeches to deflect from the reality that is being faced in every community.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that there were a lot of discussions about budgeting and spreading the money around, not only for police, but other sorts of programs that help. And that is something that City Council seems to be united on in some ways, just understanding that this is a complex problem. I think that the police hiring thing is something really important, as you point out. And you wonder how we get our way through that if we're only going to see 200 more officers next year. Is that what you said? 200 more?
Yes. Yeah. There is a document from the mayor's office internal team saying that even though we anticipate 980 sworn officer vacancies this year and 120 more retirements by the end of this year, that we'll only hire for 200 and we'll have a continuing 900-plus vacancy list for next year.
Mm.
But police officers and let me just say that, you know, the mayor's office and public health and a number of people do advocate support for other programs that deal with anti-violence. But what we have to make sure that as we're throwing money out there, that we're also throwing metrics for accountability and success. You know, we can't simply blindly throw money out into the abyss, hoping that it's going to have an impact, because we can spend $100 million on anti-violence. But if we don't specify what the metrics for success are in a particular community, we are never going to be able to make the dent that's non-arrest related to breaking the cycles of violence in our community.
Right. And no charges doesn't help in a situation like that. I think a lot of folks would agree with that. Alderman Lopez, thank you for the time today. I know you guys are in budget hearings and super busy. So thanks for jumping on with us here on WGN.
Always happy to, Anna. Take care.